Sports. 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 Sports news. Sports stories. And if we have time, even sports opinions. It's the Sports Dump with Will McAnally.
All right, this is the Sports Dump Podcast. It's been a while. I'm Joe Canale, and I'm very excited because I am joined with an actual person with legitimacy, Ephraim Salaam, former NFL 13-year veteran.
13 years.
Left tackle, most important position in the game, the blind side. If you read that, you know it's not specifically about Ephraim, but it's generally about him.
Some similarities there.
Yeah.
But I did grow up in my own home with my own parents.
Okay, there you go. Yes. Yeah, so. No. But in so much as that you are a left tackle.
That is true.
That book may have made you a couple dollars. I don't know. I don't know if left tackles made any money off of that book or if that book made money off of... I don't know what the arrangement there was.
I'm still waiting for my check on that.
The book.
Yeah.
Well, we have a perfect day to start talking about sports because it's the tournament that's going on.
Yes.
And you did your brackets.
I did my brackets.
How many brackets?
I did just one.
Just one.
Just one. I figure if I can't get it right that one time, then I'm never going to get it right.
And the first bracket.
Like marriage.
Now, I'm going to have a different opinion on that, of course, but that's because my wife walked in a few minutes ago. My second wife.
Oh, there you go.
That's what makes it important. I did a few brackets, and as anyone who knows this podcast or the Sports Widow podcast, which is also on this channel, knows I take sports way too seriously. I'm going to guess way more seriously than Ephraim does because he's lived it and knows that it's not something to take that seriously. I haven't lived it, which is why I'm still living the dream. I did three brackets, and I was going to do another one this morning before you got here and found out the games had already started. So we're watching the games in the midst of Oklahoma's undeserving. Of course, they'll win, probably, because they didn't deserve to get in.
I actually picked Rhode Island to win this game.
You did?
Yeah, okay. I did.
I always feel like the teams that kind of get in that are crappy and probably shouldn't have gotten in, like Syracuse won last night,
yeah, but
they end up going a little further.
I get it, but then on that same note, you look at Arizona State. Should they have gotten in? Right? Because,
yeah.
Of course, they started off hot
during
the season, but then they really faltered.
Them and Oklahoma both.
And were terrible down the stretch, as well as UCLA.
Yeah, another team that, that's another team that probably did not need to be there. I have a connection to Arizona State because I have them in this weird all-sports fantasy league I'm in that is crazy. And all, to talk about it on air would bore you and me and anyone listening. But I'll briefly tell you later about it. It's very intense. I have Andy Murray and Arizona State. So that should tell you something about what kind of a league it is.
Right.
It's crazy. I've never won one of these bracket tournaments. I've come very close a number of times, which is very disturbing. But a new thing I've noticed is people start to give prizes for the worst bracket.
Oh, well, that's perfect.
Yes.
But
it's
good.
But even then, I was thinking this last year, it would be hard to pick an imperfect bracket, like getting them all wrong.
Right.
Obviously, you take your 16s all the way to the final, and you're pretty good on that. But it's that, 113 or 12 seed that goes a couple rounds in.
That's the problem.
That screws
the 12-5 matchup is historically where most brackets are destroyed.
Fall apart.
Yep.
And I think I picked a 12 this year.
I just pick them every year.
You do?
Just
you pick
all the 12s. You've got to pick all the 12.
You pick them all.
You have to.
Because you're probably going to get two right anyway, so you might as well go for it.
You got to roll the dice.
Now, San Diego State is your alma mater.
Yes.
And they're in the tournament.
Yes, they are.
And you were making an interesting observation about when you went to a school. Go ahead and say again.
So you asked me, how do you think you did in your tournament?
Right.
And I said, well, when you have a team that's actually in the tournament, then your bracket isn't worth anything.
Right, right. Unless that team is Kentucky or something like that.
Right, right. Because San Diego State is in the Final Four in
for
my
you.
Bracket. Yeah, for me, of course. And they would have to go through they have to beat Houston.
Yep.
And then I think in their same
there's no reason I shouldn't have a bracket up like a.
They have to go through Gonzaga. I think they have to go through North Carolina if North Carolina wins.
Yeah.
So they would.
Carolina's going to be tough. They've been in the final 2 years in a row.
Right. So it would have to. They would have to beat Houston, Carolina, Gonzaga, and then go to the Final Four.
And Kawhi is not coming back and playing for San Diego State.
He could. I wish he would.
He's not playing for anyone else right now.
We have two guys on our team that will be in the NBA. One this year, one next year.
Okay.
So we have Malik Pope. He's 6'10". He's stretch forward. He can shoot, dribble, everything. He's a senior. He could have came out 2 years ago, but he came back for his junior year, got a little hurt last year, and so he came back for his senior
That's always the tricky thing for guys thinking about coming out early, especially the marginal guys, not the one-and-done guys who you know.
But I think he needed to come back, though. He needed to come back. He has a Kevin Durant-esque type feel to him.
Ooh.
Kevin Durant was more aggressive, but he has that same skill set.
Can he shoot?
Oh, he can definitely shoot.
See, that's the new model for the NBA.
And then we have a young kid named McDaniels, who is 6'10", freshman, redshirt freshman,
ooh,
who put up similar numbers to Kawhi Leonard his freshman year. We got two guys, 6'10", who can really compete.
Yeah.
And then we have
how the guards, though. That's the tournament.
We got a great guard, Trey Kales, averages all five starters averaging double figures.
So that is good.
That helps us.
And if one guy's down, everyone picks it up.
And that's the good thing. And we go about 11 deep on the bench, and those guys come in and they put in effort. So we're able to play at a faster pace.
Right.
We're able to do some trapping in the backcourt, really run down teams. Because most teams, especially big colleges, they only go about 7 or 8 deep.
Right. Because they're getting they're getting blue chippers, so why would you play the guys after that?
You're not going to play the walk-ons.
Right.
Or the guys who just aren't ready yet.
Yes.
So that bowl's in our favor.
Yeah. And then you also, like you said, you got a guy who's a senior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kentucky doesn't have any seniors on their team.
That's true.
Duke that has one, but he could be the most divisive player in basketball. Grayson Allen.
Yeah, I call him douchebag.
Yeah, well, they always have one. And that's the other thing I was saying. Almost every year in my tournament brackets, and we're not going to go through our own brackets because the tournament's already happening, but I always tend to go towards Kentucky and Carolina, which ultimately, if you were to say historically, like, all right, you have 100 years, bet on a team. If you take Kentucky and Carolina, you're going to do all right. It's like if you bet the Yankees every year, your odds are all right.
You'll be happier longer than you
would say. So. But most of that is based not out of liking those teams, except I met Calipari once, so I like him. But it's hating Duke more is where it comes out of. And I know a lot of people hate Duke, but I like to consider myself like in the top 1% of Duke haters. Although I've never gone to a game at Cameron. That, to me, seems to be the thing you'd have to do to really qualify. Like, I went to Fenway.
So I feel like I can
just crap on Fenway where all the seats face the Green Monster instead of home plate, so you get a goddamn stiff neck watching the game because they won't change the seat. Oh, let's look at the Monster. Yeah, okay, that's a good view. Stupid Red Sox. Anyway, so we got the games on here. We're talking a little bit about the tournament. We'll come back to that as it goes on. But it's not often, and in fact, this is the first time ever that I've had a legitimate athlete / sports personality on the show, so I want
to
take advantage of that.
Did you used to have illegitimate athletes?
Well, I would consider myself an illegitimate athlete because I approach any athletic endeavor with the same intensity and zeal of a professional athlete, but with with none of the stakes.
Okay.
I've gotten, in the past year, I have gotten in a physical altercation playing co-ed 16-inch softball. After which I threw up a little because I was so excited. And I sent the guy a bag of pistachios afterwards because I felt bad, which is now my new apology.
Was he allergic to pistachios?
No, we made up. Like, it was good. But he kind of leaned. I mean, it was a little his fault, a little my fault. And really, I was told punches were thrown. I was not aware of it in the melee. I apparently threw the punches. Again, and when I threw up, it was simply because I tried to run from first to home on a thinking I was 24. I'm not. So I'm exhausted. I'm out by 30 feet at home. Now, again, 10 years ago, I'm safe. I used to be very fast.
Right.
Now I'm fatter and older, out by a long shot. But I'm going to slide, and the guy leaned into me, and then he fell on me, and he and I had a history. And so pushing and shoving and blah, blah, blah. But because I had run around the bases and then gotten into this altercation, as the team is kind of settling stuff and it's over, yeah. I kind of slowly walk back into our dugout and I just kind of go into the corner, just puke into the corner. God, it's kind of embarrassing, but so that's my problem. I'm super intense. I can already tell you're much more chill about things than me. But I want to talk about something you have some insight into, which is Joe Thomas.
Yes.
Future Hall of Famer, I would guess, you
Absolutely.
Think?
Absolutely. Okay. First ballot.
First ballot Hall of Famer. Never started his career 1-0. I don't know if he's ever had a record, a winning record. I don't know if he's ever been on an NFL. And Hall of Famer, probably 3 or 4 games at most, has been over 500 in his 11-year career.
That's sad, too.
The last 2 years of his career, he won one game. And he started an enormous amount of snaps. Now, you played left tackle for 13 years?
Yes.
So a couple more years than Joe Thomas, actually. But I bet he maybe played more snaps because he played.
Oh, he definitely played more snaps, and he was a better player. So, well, I just put that out there.
I mean, I don't know if you're Hall of Fame. I will say, when we met like a few weeks ago at a show that Ephraim was the kind of host of the show, and we were improvising around that. And I had heard your name, and not to say, there's not a lot of Ephraims.
That is true. Which is the point?
That's absolutely. Now, where is Ephraim?
It's a biblical name.
Okay. Yeah, so a
biblical name. So I have a Christian or Hebrew first name and a Muslim last name.
No wonder you're so chill.
Hey, man, I'm a peaceful person.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
that internal strife would tear you apart if you let it.
Straight Zen over
here. Yeah, Ephraim Salaam. I wonder if there's just not any other Ephraim Salaams in the world.
Probably not.
I know there are at least 2 other Joe Canales. I'm related to both of them. But yeah, that's an interesting combination.
I'm a one of one.
Yes.
What can I
and
say?
Then even if there was another one, it'd be easy to tell the 2 of you apart, I bet. There's not another.
Short Jewish guy.
Yeah. I know a guy named Ithamar Enriquez, which is a pretty unique name, too. But his father is also named that.
Well,
so there's 2 of them.
Yeah, it's not the same.
2 of them.
It's not the same.
So Joe Thomas, now obviously you never played against him one-on-one, but you've played games against the Browns, right?
Yes, I have.
And as a guy, now obviously when you're off the field, you're not watching the game.
But I do.
You're okay.
I do.
There's times when, because you see guys, you know, obviously they come off the field and they get yelled at
and
by their O-line
film,
coach.
Too. So we get a chance to, so what happens is whoever we're going to play against, we take their last 3 games. So if we're going to play New England, we'll watch New England's last 3 football games to not only watch what the defense does as a whole, but watch what the player does that I'll be going against.
Yeah.
And so I've seen, you know, defensive ends fail miserably against Joe Thomas.
Yes. Okay. So you're watching their defensive end
I'm
playing Cleveland, and you're like,
if I can take anything from him, how he handled the situation,
and you're like, oh, this D lineman's nothing.
Terrible.
He's getting, and then he comes against
to
you.
Me and he's a maniac.
Yeah. Right.
I hate doing that. You know, I that's what it was like. Remember Jonathan Ogden?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So Jonathan Ogden, we played the same position.
Yes.
And
he's a Hall of Famer.
At my heaviest, I was 325 at the most.
Right.
So like 6'8", 325, 6'7", 325, whatever. And Jonathan Ogden was 6'9", like 375. And his ability to physically dominate everyone.
Yeah.
It was infuriating to me.
So that's twice as much as I weigh. And here's a question. Do you think he, and again, now, I'm in my mid-40s, not an athlete, but like for like regular comedian white dude,
yes,
I'm a fast runner. I'm giving so many.
Okay.
So many. Do you think he was fast? If
yes.
me in my prime and him in his prime, a guy 375 could run
faster than
oh, my God.
Yes.
How terrifying is that?
I mean, it was a freaking nature. I mean, it was.
Like, probably he runs like a 4.6, 4.7, you think, 40?
Probably, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
At that size.
So you just, you put that speed into a mountain of a man.
Yeah.
And you give him great feet, great hands, and it was like, well, I can't do that. Like, but, I watching him, I couldn't learn anything because there's no way I can do that.
Right.
It's like I can't physically make myself
right.
pick a guy off the ground and propel and helicopter him in the air.
And that's the thing they talk about all the time. You are a 99th percentile human being in terms of physical ability.
Yes.
Probably higher. You're probably 99.9th percentile. A, in height, you're that much taller
right.
than everybody. And then, again, if you can, at this age, walk around at that weight and live a normal life, you're a pretty good athlete, you know? Like, I mean, you're not at your playing weight, but you're
no.
probably, what, 250, 260?
Oh, I wish. I'm about 275.
Okay. So, yeah, and this is why.
And I will say, if I was 250, I'd be in here with my shirt off. Just to
right, just because you could.
I'd just be in here, no shirt.
But he's like 99th percentile of the 99th percentile.
Yeah, he's even more, like, you have a special human. Like, I consider ourselves, well, myself having superior DNA.
Yeah.
Right? And then you look at his DNA, it's like, oh, I don't, I'm just average.
Yeah.
Right? So he makes special people
right.
feel
it's not
average.
Quite. It's not quite he is to you what you are to me. There's a bigger gap between you and I.
That is correct. That is correct.
I'm not stopping anybody on the offensive line.
Like, but, we both can do the same job. It just, his is much easier
yes.
and much more dominant.
Right. For him to do it, he doesn't have to work as hard.
That is true.
And if he decides to work as hard,
then it's over. It's over.
Right. And Joe Thomas.
He fits into that superior category as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he was tremendous.
Yeah.
Anybody who can play that many snaps.
Yeah, in a row.
That many games in a row.
Now, he had to have played with a concussion.
Oh, absolutely. Anybody who plays football has played with a concussion. It's not one person on the planet Earth who's played football at the level we have
yeah.
and not had a concussion.
Yeah.
So you got to think about all the football you've played from being a kid, from college, and to the pros.
Yep.
It's impossible.
Yep.
Because you don't have to be dizzy or knocked out to be concussed.
No.
All you have to do is hit helmets with someone, yep. and that's a form of concussion.
Yeah, because it's just the brain moving
that's
around
it.
A little bit. And it's the lack of recovery time in between those small hits over and over and over again that is
right,
the collective.
Right, have you waking up bad shit crazy one morning, which scared I went and saw that movie, scared the hell out of me.
What movie?
Concussion.
Oh.
It really did. It bothered me.
Tell the truth.
Like, seriously, it bothered me. Like, I was like, am I going to wake up one day and not realize I'm laying in my bed next to my wife?
Sure. It probably won't happen in one day.
No, but it happens.
Have you noticed little tiny things?
My memory isn't as sharp as it used to be.
Likewise for me, different reasons.
Right, so I'll go into the grocery store or something like that, and I'll just stand there like, I don't remember.
Okay.
So the reason I got an iPhone was because my wife was like, hey, I would double, triple book stuff. My wife was like, hey, babe, we've had plans for
yeah.
a week. I'm like, yeah, I don't remember that.
To be fair, a lot of that I would chalk up to just being a husband.
Okay.
The forgetting stuff.
Okay.
Now, again.
That makes me feel better.
Right.
I'm fine.
And again, full disclosure, any damage you've done to your brain with collisions, I've equalized with legal medicine here in California, which memory-wise.
I was just talking about that with my wife.
About the legal medicine.
About the legal medicine.
And we had a brief conversation because it crosses over. And again, we'll get back to the tournament. And
it's
not
going anywhere.
No,
we're
exactly.
Fine.
And I could take, like, we're not going to do it today, but sometime I'd like to have a larger discussion about football, youth football, what your thoughts on having played it and having kids
mm-hmm.
and where you think it should go.
Well, I could. That's quick and easy.
All right. Well, give me the quick and easy, and maybe if we ever have.
My kids won't play football.
There you go.
I don't think you should be allowed to play tackle football until you're in high school.
High school. Yeah. And
there's no need for it. There's no need for it.
There's all these things that people fight, and just as you said, there is no need for it. Do we need to? And again, if you're a psycho competitive parent, you don't need them in uniforms tackling football. I've seen them at 6-year-old soccer games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you don't need to have
you don't
them
need
in the uniform
right, to
be
to
a crazy
your
parent.
Psychotic parenting ways
yeah.
out.
But it's interesting because you have children.
Yes.
And you played in the league.
Yep.
And like you said, you do have superior genes. So they are going to have some of that which will perhaps give them opportunities with size and stuff, but you would steer them away, not necessarily from athletics, but from football specifically.
No, absolutely. My son said, hey, Dad, when do I get to play kids football? Oh, they don't have that. And then I just changed the subject. Hey, look at Super Mario. And
yeah.
But he plays basketball. He does karate. He plays baseball.
Sure.
So he's getting his athletic feel. He just doesn't need to die. Like I tell people all the time. Number one, I would hate my kids to wake up in the pain that I wake up in every day. So
still
right now. It doesn't go away. It never goes away.
Yeah.
My back, I had to change my bed, my back, my hips, my right knee, right ankle, both shoulders. I mean, it's constant pain, pain.
And you don't, and again, this is why if you're in constant pain, you haven't played football in seven years.
Yep.
Still in constant pain.
And I lost 60 pounds.
And you told me you threw out thousands of dollars worth of opioids.
Yeah, because they would just give them to you.
Right.
By the bucket load.
Yes. And so by now, let's say you had kept them, you decide to take them.
Yeah.
You'd be through all of them and into a big addiction at this point.
Absolutely.
Probably, right?
Yes, I'd be crackhead.
Right, right.
But that's the cycle.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah,
that's a pro move, folks. This guy, you didn't see it because we're on podcast, but he coughed and he turned his head. You'll notice I won't do that when I cough because I'm not as pro yet, but I'm learning lessons as we go. So Joe Thomas, do you feel like his career is a success?
It's a success in terms of him fulfilling his dream of playing in the NFL, being one of the best to ever do it, and having a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah.
It's a failure in terms of the inadequacies of his team. He never got a chance to experience what the NFL truly had to offer.
Right.
And I was a part of a similar situation when I, for 1 year in 2009, I went to Detroit.
Yeah.
It was awful.
And again, this is not something you readily admit.
No, I do not.
The first time you said, right.
I keep that to myself most of the time.
You tell people four teams you played for in the NFL, but you played for five.
Because it was just miserable.
Yeah.
It was the year after they went 0-16.
Yeah.
And I had friends on that team like Jeff Backus, who'd been there forever, Dominic Raiola, who'd been there forever.
Cornhusker.
They've been in the league for a decade.
Yeah.
And never experienced winning. So the culture there was everybody came to work, everybody went home, they came to work,
yep,
went home. They didn't get a chance to have the city embrace them,
yep,
to explore the things that being on a winning team,
because you're on a Super Bowl team and you're a lineman, people recognize you. You're on the Lions and you're a lineman, people are just scared of you.
You don't, right. You're fearful.
Yeah.
Like, people are fearful of you because you're
and
just
Detroit, we could get into other social stuff about that, but
it just was awful. And I would talk to them about it. I'm like, guys, they were miserable. These guys are millions of dollars, miserable.
Yeah.
Like, this is awful. And I said, I feel bad for you guys. Because you guys don't know what the other side is like.
Right.
My rookie year, we went to the Super Bowl. Yeah. I started in the Super Bowl. So that's how I came into the league.
Yeah. Did you make any other Super Bowls?
No.
Make the playoffs after that?
Yeah, of course. But the fact that I got to experience it on the highest level.
Right.
We would literally have rallies and parades and all of these autograph signings.
This is San Diego?
The
Super Bowl, your first.
Miami.
And
people would be screaming, can I touch your hand? Like rock star. I'm an offensive lineman.
Yeah. A rookie at the time in the Super Bowl, right.
Like rock star.
Seventh round draft pick.
We all went to the mall like the a couple of days before we went to the Super Bowl. I was playing for the Atlanta Falcons at the
time.
That's
right. You were on the Falcons.
So we went to the Lenox Mall. And they had to shut the mall down.
Wow.
It was tens of thousands of people following us through the mall.
Yeah.
It was unreal. I'm talking about police escort,
right.
SWAT team. It
oh
was
my
crazy.
God.
And to have friends to never experience that Joe.
I mean, Joe Thomas never even went to a playoff game. Never had a winning season.
Never.
And, I mean, it's very obvious that you're not going to have a left tackle. A left tackle alone is not going to take you to a Super Bowl the way LeBron James could take you to the championship.
Right.
Basketball is
right.
a different sport. But, like, even amongst all the positions, even Jonathan Ogden, who though, did go to a Super Bowl, and mm-hmm. you could say he was a big reason for it, because you give me 11 seconds to throw a ball, I'm going to find somebody, you know, because the Super Bowl on that team, right. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Even with you know, one of the probably 5-10 most dominant people at that position, not once did they put a guy behind him who could benefit or who
from
would
his excellence.
Right. Because no matter how much time you give, name 18 of the 20 quarterbacks they had there, he's not hitting somebody because they were bad.
They were awful. They were awful. They consistently made terrible personnel decisions. And that sucks for Joe. They got him right.
Yeah.
They
right.
got that right.
They got him, you know, super
they got him,
right.
They got it right. They hit a home run with that.
Yep.
That was 11
years ago. I
kind
of thought they might have traded him this year. Give him a chance, because they're not winning this year. Give him a chance at something, like maybe the Patriots or whatever. They get him for the usual Patriot price, which is half the going
that
rate.
Been nice for him to. I just think he was over it. I think he was after he got hurt. So what happens is, if you're so used to playing, that's all you know.
Every down.
So what happens when that goes away? Then your perspective changes.
Yeah.
So especially after that long, and then you have the ability to think and have retrospection, right? So he's playing. You get yourself in a rhythm.
Yeah.
Right? So every day this is what I do.
It's inertia. You're just going.
You're going. You've been doing this for years and years, so your body's adjusted to it. And then something catastrophic happens, like he tore his tricep. So now his routine is completely thrown off.
And he's looking at things differently.
He's spending a lot of time in the training room, mostly with just him and the trainer or rehab. And now he's thinking about his career and the things that happened and the things that he may want to do next.
Yeah. And rehabbing is not like any other football.
Awful.
It's solitary. And all the things that you probably learned to love and enjoy of football, the camaraderie and everything, you're taking away from it.
It's gone. No more meetings. No more, Thursday. Well, you can still do the Thursday night dinners with the offense or the defense or whatever. But it's just not
You're not contributing the same way.
You're not preparing for a game. Like, you don't go to the hotel the night before the game and prepare and go over your game play. It just breaks everything up.
Right. And for the team, you're probably, they have to do that because they're focused on a thing. And if you're not exactly helping that.
Right. I learned that in Detroit, that one miserable year.
Yes. Now, have you ever had a serious injury like that?
I've had injuries during the season where I had to have surgery during the season, but I came back.
That to me is ridiculous.
I had surgery when I was playing in Denver. I had surgery, and 11 days later, I was back starting on my knee.
What kind of surgery? Knee surgery.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, at least they weren't asking you to do anything strenuous on the knee so soon after surgery.
I literally, this is the crazy part. I could not lift 20 pounds on a single leg extension. I could not lift 20 pounds. Couldn't do it.
Jeez.
Did not have the strength to do it.
But you went out on the field like
yes.
that? Gee, who'd you play that week?
I finished out the season.
Now, that they're giving you the Toradol or whatever right before.
Yeah, everything. My knee has never recovered from that.
Yeah.
Never. It's awful right now.
I bet you you'll end up getting knee replacement.
Oh, I have to.
Yeah.
That's already my doctor's concerned because he doesn't want to do it until I'm in my 50s.
Yes, right.
Because there's a shelf life on them, right?
Absolutely. You don't want to get a second
knee. You don't
want
to get it replaced.
Yeah. And I'm going to guess for somebody like you, my wife's dad had knee replacement, but he probably weighs 160 pounds, mm-hmm. and it was from running. But his knee replacement's going to probably hold up easier than yours.
Oh, yeah, he'll be fine. Like, I'm so big.
Right.
And so outside of the normal weight, that it'll wear down and I'll have to get it redone in 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
you're
which
like,
is not what you want.
You're
you
like a Jaguar that. Where there's only a couple of places you can take it to get the parts repaired.
Right, that's exactly right. Yeah, you have to go to
a specialty,
a super specialist.
Right, you need a surgeon, but he has to have big hands.
Yeah. Where's Dr. Handful?
Yeah. All right, well, we could go on and on about that. As we watch here, Oklahoma continues to lead Rhode Island. By the time you listen to this, the first round games will be over. So it's ultimately good that we're not spending too much time on this. Now, I'm going to do something this this week, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to do this again at some point, and we'll have maybe some more things prepared. But for this first episode with you, I did the minimum amount of research a person okay. can do, which is usually the maximum amount of research I'm willing to do. But I went to the Wikipedia page, and I looked up some information about you. Mm-hmm. And I will ask that in the future, if you ever do the reverse to me, just be aware that there is another more famous Joe Canale, who is the youth hockey, the head of the youth hockey program in Canada, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
So that's not me.
Well, that's the guy I looked up. Yeah. So I had a whole bunch of questions about youth hockey.
One thing that terrifies me about that is anyone who's ever involved with youth sports now at this point, just given the climate of Larry Nassar and everything, I'm just afraid at some point that guy's name is going to come out and it's going to be like
Joe Canale was
child molester. That's it. That's exactly. You didn't want to say it, but that's what I'm afraid of. And I'm not accusing him at all. And I hope to God that has nothing to do with him. But that's kind of a fear of mine. We're looking into it. But now that I've mentioned it, we're going to look into it. So I'm going to ask you a few questions about your life, and we're going to see how much Ephraim Salaam knows about Ephraim Salaam.
Okay.
All right. So you were in The Amazing Race.
I was.
With a good friend of yours. Is this story true that you saw him in a checkout line?
Yeah, he was working at the grocery store. Like, he was already a student at San Diego State, but he was a nerd. He was an engineer major,
yep.
And he had a job.
But he was 6'2", 240 or something?
Huge. Yeah. 240. He was about 290.
Chester Pitts
was like
fullback?
6'4", 290.
Right.
No, he was an offensive lineman.
Chester Pitts. Oh, did he play on the Texans too?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
That's what made the story so great.
Right.
It's because I was older than him.
Yep.
So the year I convinced him to go out for the team, I left and went into the draft and went.
So you're
play.
A recruiter.
Yeah, I know, right? 5 years later, he gets drafted into right. the NFL.
So you brought him out of the checkout line. So how big is he? So I say 6'2", 2'4". He's like
6'4". Right now, today, he's 6'4", probably 290.
So he's a guard?
He was a guard.
Guard. Did he play next to you or on the other
right
side?
Right next okay. to me. Left guard. I was a left tackle.
Okay. And you brought him in, and he was drafted higher than you.
Yes, he was.
As a guard?
As a guard.
And you were a tackle?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know if the book had been out by then, if the Blind Side was
know,
out yet.
Right.
That would have changed your draft position. So here's my question. So you're in the – you know that.
Yep.
Where did you finish?
Oh. What
there were 11 team. There were 11 places.
So we finished. I want to say ninth.
That is correct.
Yes.
You finished ninth out of 11 teams. You were the
yes.
third team eliminated.
We were.
What happened? How'd you get eliminated?
Number one, I would like to just say.
Oh yeah.
That we could have easily won the Amazing Race.
I believe it. Teammates know how to work together.
Because the problem with a lot of teams is they let their feelings and their misunderstandings affect the actual task.
Yes.
As professional athletes.
You put that out of the way.
It doesn't even resonate.
Yep.
Right? So bicycling through a salt mine in Santiago and then – And then 4 miles on a little baby bike, and then having to destroy a huge mountain of salt to find the itty bitty clue.
Right.
It just didn't seem too hard for us.
Right.
And I think we were the fastest team to ever do. I mean, we demolished it. I was picking it up and just
sure. You had an advantage in something like that.
But any task we had to do, that's the approach we had. We didn't care what it was.
Right.
It had to get done.
Obviously. And that's the mindset they need in professional sports.
And so we came in first, the second leg.
Okay.
We left 40 minutes before any other team left.
You had the advantage.
Had the advantage. We get to the travel agency.
Mm-hmm.
There's one flight that gets there earlier than any other flight. The lady said, yes, we get that flight. So we're in there laughing, joking, having
a
good old
you're
time.
Ahead of everybody.
One team comes in. We're like, okay, we're waiting on the tickets. Another team comes in. We're waiting on the tickets. The team next to it, the lady's on the phone the whole time. right? She doesn't really speak English. So she's on the phone the whole time. We're like, what's going on? The ticket should have printed, right? She was like, hold on. She's just waiting on the phone. Not talking, just waiting on the phone. The team next to us, the team that came in second, they didn't even try for that flight.
Right, they skipped it.
Because it was only, you know, seats for us on there.
Yes.
The third team came in there, and then someone came from the back who wasn't privy to what was going on.
Yeah.
And they put that third team on the flight we were supposed to have. This is what the lady did. This is what the travel agent did. She typed in the wrong date. So instead of just clearing it out and doing it all over again on the computer, she called to try to change it, and they put her on hold.
And so she was a travel agent woman.
For 40 minutes, she was just holding the phone on hold. So we end up getting on a flight with everybody else. Check this out. It gets deeper. We go to the airport, meet up with the other teams. We explain what happened. They're like, man, that sucks. We're just standing there in a group. A lady walks over to us. Are you Ephraim and Chester?
Where is this, by the way?
We're in Santiago, Chile.
Two enormous black men in Santiago.
All the teams were looking at us like, we were like, yeah. And it was like, it's a phone call for you.
Right.
So we go over to the desk. It's that travel agent lady. Listen to this. She felt so bad, right, that she said she found us another flight that got us in an hour earlier than the original flight we were supposed to be on. So we can now be an hour earlier than everybody. But it had two connections.
Where are they?
Me being an Amazing Race aficionado.
Okay.
And a fan. Watched every season. My favorite show. I was like, don't do two connections. Chester Pitts, who had never watched the show ever.
Right.
Was like, let's do it. I'm like, Chester, I don't think it's a good idea. He's so competitive. He was like, but we get there an hour earlier than everybody.
Yeah.
And I was like, forget it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
When we flew into Buenos Aires, right? We get off the plane. I think we had like a 40-minute layover. And then we get on our next plane and get out before any other
going to
São Paulo.
Okay. This thing's all in South America.
Yeah. And then São Paulo to Lisboa.
To Portugal.
Yeah. And so
this is an amazing race.
It's crazy, right? So we get off the plane and we go to the gate and look up. The flight is delayed 15 hours.
15 hours?
So how do you even have a delay for that long? Is the plane, are they building the plane? This is
15 hours.
So unlike, let me speed this up because I don't want to take
Sure.
So unlike in here, if you're at the gate, you can go, it's like customer servicing. You can
you can find a way.
It's not like that in other countries. You'd have to leave out.
Come back in.
And
go
come back. You have to go back. You have to leave and go to the ticket counter. But we didn't have enough money to pay the reciprocity to get out of the airport and then come back in.
You're trapped in the airport.
We couldn't.
You're like that movie where the guy lives in the airport.
Couldn't do it. So
you just had to wait.
And the ticket counters, they only come 15 minutes before plane leaves, and they're there
so you're
15
just,
minutes before plane arrives and 15 minutes after they leave. But they don't sell tickets.
So you're just sitting there for 13 and a half hours.
And it just, the next plane we got on was delayed. We were literally a day behind. The other teams had left.
For Lisbon. And you were getting
before
into.
Before we even got to the pit stop. And that's how it ended. But it was supposed to end like that because there's no way those teams would
have
been able to do this.
Right. They have to take you out earlier or else you're going to destroy.
I finished watching the race when it came on. I was like, oh, there's no way.
Yeah.
That stuff wasn't even hard.
Yeah.
So it was a reason why the two millionaires had lost.
Yeah. Right. And one's going to feel bad for that.
You know, it is what it is. It was fun, though.
True. And in America on CBS, they definitely don't want to see the two.
But we were lovable, though.
Yes.
We were good guys.
I believe that 100%. I think a lot of times people don't care
about
how lovable and nice guys you are. They got other things clouding up their heads. All right. So you got that question right.
Yep.
So you are 6'7".
Yes.
Within 1/100th of a meter, How many meters tall are you?
Oh my God. Oh God. I am, let's say I am 72 meters.
You're a little off.
What?
You're 2 meters.
Oh.
You're thinking of like centimeters.
Yeah. I am.
You are 2.01 meters according to Wikipedia. 2.01.
Okay.
So you're almost exactly 2 meters tall.
Okay.
For future reference.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
We'll have to edit that part out.
It's okay to be.
I've had a lot of concussions. I just want to put that out.
Sure.
There.
I think you've
established. Highly educated, but
it's pretty clear that that was just a. That was not a misconstruence of stupidity and simply a, what is a meter again?
Yeah,
I wanted to ask you, it was hard out of a Wikipedia page to find questions about you that you're not going to know.
Centimeter.
You played for a basketball team.
Yes.
Or you were drafted.
I was invited to camp.
By the
D-League affiliate of the Dallas Mavericks, which was the... Texas Legends.
You got it. Yeah, yes, the Texas Legends.
Yep.
All right. We got just a couple more questions for you. How many fumble recoveries do you have in your career?
Two.
Okay. Right off the top. And can you tell me about both of them?
As an offensive lineman, if I've ever I used to tell people this all the time. My nephews used to be like, hey, Uncle E, will you ever score a touchdown? I'm like, no. If I ever touch the ball, something has gone horribly wrong.
What about the fumble rooski play?
No, they don't do that. No, they didn't do that.
Nowadays, you see occasionally they'll run a tackle out or whatever.
Later on in my career when I wasn't starting, they would put me on goal. I was a tight end on goal line.
Right.
Which was awesome, but they never threw me the ball, which pissed me off.
So you had to check in as eligible.
Yes. In practice, they would feature me, and they would throw me the ball all the time. So I was like, this is the year.
You're probably a decoy.
In year 12, I'm going to score a touchdown.
And you're right. Whenever you see an offensive lineman in one of those situations, it's why running backs give the ball to the offensive lineman.
Just spike it.
Because that's it. That's the only time they're touching the ball.
Yeah.
Did you ever get the ball to spike it? They give it to you sometimes?
Of course.
So the two fumbles you recovered,
yeah.
Do you recall any details of either of them?
One I picked up, and I was like, I'm an athlete.
Here we go.
I'm going to run. When I turned and looked, I saw the look on the defensive guys' faces. Oh, absolutely not.
They were like, I
just went straight down. Because I'm not used to carrying the ball at that point anymore. Like when I was a freshman in high school,
Played
running back and all that. But
yeah.
But when you see the speed and the ferociousness.
And they don't get to hit you like that normally.
They are tearing everything below the waist.
Yeah.
Gone. I was like, no shot.
Yeah.
No.
Because most times a defensive lineman, the interaction with you is more hand wrestling and that kind of, which is going to make you angry at somebody, but they never really get the opportunity to plow
to
into
you.
But now once you have the ball, went down?
Yeah, I don't want those problems.
And the other one was just kind of a scrum fumble.
Yeah, I saw it and I just grabbed it. The one thing you don't want to do is be at the bottom of a pile with a fumble.
Yeah.
You don't want to.
Because everybody's going after you no matter where.
Yeah.
And they don't even know who they're – right. I would imagine in a situation like that.
I've been fish hooked.
Right.
Gouged.
But they don't – do they even know it's you?
They just pulling that
You
thing.
Could be grabbing your teammate's nutsack trying to get a fumble.
Yeah. Yeah, ball grabbers.
Yes, I mean, we're not going to get into it, but I think anyone who knows sports suspects that the things that go on that are rarely talked about are just more horrid and disgusting than we can imagine.
Really are.
You gave me a little anecdote I'm not going to get into, but when we met last time that I was just flabbergasted from. And I'm not easily flabbergasted is all I'm going to say. All right, I got one more question for
all
you.
Right.
How many games did you play in the NFL?
I believe 156.
159 is what I have.
159.
Okay.
159.
Of those games, so almost 10 full seasons of games you played.
Yes.
In 11. Pretty impressive. How many did you start?
129.
Yes!
Yes!
Yes! You start 129 games. Very good. All right. So you know yourself.
Yes, I do.
That's a lot of games.
That is a shit ton of games.
Yeah. That's what, like 8 seasons of starts.
Yeah.
And So your rookie contract was seventh round. And how long do they have you for that?
4 years. They have your rights for 4 years.
And a rookie contract has got to be.
Then I started all 19 games, including the Super Bowl, and made $165,000 before taxes.
What year is this?
This is 98, which may seem like good money.
No.
Coming
even
out of college. But yes, for what I was doing.
No, coming out of college, that's great. But you could have
the other tackle was making $7 million.
Who is that?
Bob Whitfield. The guard
playing, right,
was making $4.5 million. Like, it was crazy.
Well, there's a lot about that system, especially when, again, we could talk forever. But
they have a different system now.
Yes.
So they have a play for pay system now. So what happens is, if you are a late round draft pick or a free agent or something like that, and you play and you start, you get a bump increase, however many percentage. So,
okay,
if that system was in place when I played, check this out, I probably would have made an extra $600,000.
Bring you up to about a mil or something. Now, you got bonus for the playoffs.
I did.
You probably made more money from your playoffs.
Yeah. I did. We made $24,000 for the divisional. We won the divisional. We won $32,000 for the NFC championship game. And then we won $32,000
for losing the Super Bowl. That's pretty good.
That is great.
See, that's where the rank and file players, the playoffs mean more to them than the superstars.
You know, it's a pay cut for them.
I mean, $32,000 is a fine for, you know, putting a phone in the stanchion or whatever.
Right.
That's what I always think is incredible with athletes, is how easily they dismiss some of these fines.
Yeah.
You know, Draymond Green, you lose a game and it's like $95,000 more for some guys.
Yep.
It's like, wow. Exactly. And I know that stuff goes to charity, I think, generally with fines, which is
allegedly
maybe a good, right. You know what? That might be a sports dump investigation. That would be our first one. I've done all my trivia on you, and we've gotten past our 40-minute limit, and we really haven't talked about basketball. And it's always good to not accomplish something in one of these podcasts. Right. I don't know if you know that. But I think this is a fair time to wrap up. None of the games are over. Do you know who your Final Four is?
It is Arizona, San Diego State,
right,
Michigan State,
yeah,
and Butler.
Wow. I might have something very similar. I don't have San Diego State.
Well, then
but
you
I may
don't
have, the other
have anything, and your right bracket sucks if you don't have San Diego State.
I think
State.
I do have Butler, and again, this is the bad thing about doing a bunch of brackets. I do have Butler, but I don't know if I have Butler with Arizona and Carolina. And I got Butler somewhere, so I bet y'all have the Final Four somehow, but it'll be in three different brackets. All right, well, this was a ton of fun, and I hope we get to do it again. A special thanks to Ephraim Salaam for being here with us. And, yeah, this was the Sports Dump podcast, and you can find us on Sports Dump, The Sports Dump on Twitter, The Sports Dump on Facebook, and The Sports Dump just.com. And we'll be putting up a lot of content and videos of my 4-year-old making picks. We're going to do all the rounds, but she got tired after about one round. So you'll just get one round of her and then her yelling and leaving. We'll put that up somewhere too. All right. Have a good one, and hope your brackets turn out great. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.